Talk Over Podcast, we are back. Fellas, it's been such a long time.
Oh no, it's been a whole 24 hours.
Since last recorded. And annoyingly, like I literally just said off mic, we've just had like a good 15 minute conversation about content creating. We didn't put it in the podcast foolishly, so that was nice.
One for the gods, mate. One for the gods.
You had to be there. You had to be there. Moment. So anyway, continuing on from the last episode, we finished the last episode talking about agencies and the dickheads. Certain topics around agencies. There was an expanded topic off of that I wanted to bring up, and it was to do with in the infamous WhatsApp chat that we're all part of. Somebody mentioned that they've done work for an agency, and the agency have like ridiculously long payment terms, so they have to wait ages. But if you want your money now, they will send it to you for a fee. So there was like, what was it, like a, was it a percentage or a set fee? I can't remember.
It's a percentage. So Surreal is a platform that some venues and agencies use. How you get paid is dictated by the venue or the agency's terms. A lot of it is 30 days, which is annoying. But if you do want to literally get paid like 5 minutes after your gig, you can opt for a faster payment. But I think they take usually, I think Surreal takes about like 3.8% or like 3.8% or something weird like that. Which is, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like if you say your set's like 200, 250, whatever, it's not the end of the world, but it's fucking jarring the fact that you have to like give away part of your fee to get paid straight away. But it's also hella convenient if you want to literally get paid like 5 minutes after your gig and be like, all right, cool, wicked, I don't got to worry about it. But if you have to obviously wait like 14, 28, 30 days, then great. But it's definitely a bit of a piss take. Like, I get the platform's got to make money somehow. I don't know how it works on the back end if they're also charging agencies and venues a percentage to like handle the bookings and all the other bits and pieces for them, because they handle availability and all the communication between you and the agency and the venue. But the fact that they also take like another pound of flesh for like, you know, artists and DJs and bands to get paid, it's a bit of a
it's
piss
insane.
Take.
It's a piss take.
Yeah,
it's actually a piss take, man.
I'm trying to just like woo-saw for a moment. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to calm myself before I speak on it. It's a weird one because I think like you said, are they charging on the other end as well? It's highly likely that if it's venues using that system. So wait, is it an app or is it a company or what?
Company, yeah.
It's a company. So they
are a middleman for payments, basically.
Yeah.
Why is it? I don't understand why it's necessary, because it's not like private jobs, weddings and birthdays and stuff aren't going to use that to pay DJs. That's just going to be a person-to-person transaction. So it's going to be bigger companies. Why do the bigger companies not have the availability or the resources to
not have an accounting team that deals with, or like a payroll team, essentially.
There's that resources. And also it's the logistics behind it as well. So imagine like someone, like say you're running, I don't know, 5 or 6 venues, right? And you've got, I don't know, 30, 40 DJs that you need to manage across it, and everyone's got like individual availability. Imagine getting everyone to like fill out a spreadsheet, send it back by a certain time, it gets long, whereas they can literally just send out all the availability requests within Surreal and say, right, we're doing events on these days between, I don't know, like here are all the sets. Say there's like about 50 sets lined up across like February or whatever. Everyone can mark down what they're available for, and then they get all that information sent back to them, and then they can kind of like see on the back end who's available and whatnot, and they can just kind of assign it. All right, cool, you've been booked. So it kind of cuts down on the amount of admin time, from my understanding, because you imagine you've got to sit there, read a spreadsheet, all right, mark who's available, who's not, and then, you know, you have to like send, all right, cool, you're booked on these dates, and someone might turn around and say, actually, no, I can't do that date. Whereas in like Surreal, you can literally be like, yeah, I need to cancel it because of X, Y, Z, whatever. Maybe another booking's come up with some more money, or you can't do it for family reasons or whatever. and then they can assign it to someone else who's also available on that date.
Right. So it's an admin app, essentially. It's not just like a payment system. It's more of an admin app where so you can tell them when you're available and then they book you. It seems like, do you use it, Cable?
Yeah. So Box Park and a couple other venues that I DJ for use Surreal to manage their to manage like their bookings and
okay,
their DJ.
Okay, right. So right, that I didn't understand that about it. At first, I thought it was just a payment system, and then I'm like, okay. So it makes a little bit more sense. It's an admin app, and yeah, so they'll have to make money. But I imagine like the businesses using them will be paying a fee. They'll have an account fee. They won't be paying a percentage. They might be paying a percentage on top, but they'll have like an account fee that they'll pay every month for every year to be able to use the system. So that's how it's
going to be. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. There'll be like, some kind of subscription fee or something to use it.
My biggest problem with it, I think, is like anybody that listens to the podcast will know I'm a big advocate for DJs being in control of their finances and their income, as it were. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a fan of the realm where DJs are told how much the job is. Oh yeah, it's 10 till 4 and we're paying 250 quid, and it's like, hold on, you can tell me the timing, but you can't tell me what I'm charging for the timing. Sure, like I'm that's just something like I can't think of other trades, because I'd consider it a trade, but I can't think of other trades. Like, I'm not getting my kitchen fitted and being like, yeah, it needs to be done in February, and I'll pay you £1,000. It's like, hold on, I'll tell them when I need it done, and then they'll tell me, first of all, if they can do it, secondly, what the cost is going to be. I don't tell them what the cost is going to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I get the thing that it's like, okay, well, this is the budget. But again, I'm not a fan of venues setting the budget for DJs.
They see you more as an employee rather than a contractor.
100%, but then there's no employee benefits, because I'm sick now and I've got to call in sick, but I'm not getting paid. I've got to go on holiday, but I'm not getting holiday pay. There's no pension contributions. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've even got to pay an accountant, or a lot of us have to pay accountants to sort out our tax stuff, because we're not on pay as you earn. So it's like, if we're an employee, cool, tell me how much you're paying me. But at the same time, now you've got to do all the other stuff. Because I feel like as DJs, we do sacrifice a lot of the benefits that pay as you earn employees get. So we should be in control of like what the fee is.
To an extent, I feel like this whole setting budgets and this is what we're paying you is like you said, you don't really get it in the kind of like trade world at all. Like, it's more of in the creative industry. So like, you know, it's not just for like DJs, but like graphic designers, you know, oh, here's a job, but the budget's this to like do our flyers or to do our website or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the same with like videographers and photographers as well. You know, the great ones will be able to command what they want within that world, but more time, a promoter or a venue is going to go, well, we need a photographer, budget is 100 quid, whatever, you know, take it or leave it. And there'll always be someone with a camera willing to do the job, just how there is someone with a controller willing to do our job for 250 for, you know, 6-7 hours, whatever.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
100%.
So we're kind of annoyingly at the mercy of like venues and things like that being able to kind of dictate, but yeah, you know, we should be able to say, right, here's our fee, this is what we charge, and you know, obviously it's up to them. But yeah, like you said, if they got like a set budget and they turn around and say, here's the budget that we can only allocate, there should still be some kind of room for negotiation. Do you know what I mean?
I think I fully get it, and especially like I've come up through, like a lot of us have, we come up through the residency, like corporate club chain world. And that's how we got our stripes and how we were able to progress to where we are now. So like, I do fully get it. And I have been in the position where the club's like, yeah, this is what you get paid if you want the job there. And if I didn't take it, someone else would have. And at that time in my life, it benefited me to do it. So I've definitely been there. I think one of my biggest problems with it is that in the last 10 years, the number has never gone up.
Nah, it's always stayed the same.
And it's like everything else has gone up. Even their other employees, their full-time staff wages have gone up. But it's such a taboo topic to bring up to a manager, because in some instances you might say to the manager, you know, like, can I get a pay rise? And now the next DJ's getting booked. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's a tricky one. And I think that's where I have the problem, is it's like, okay, I get that people have budgets, but everything has gone up except this DJ budget. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's where the problem is for me, is that DJs, for the most part, like I'm talking about on the residence field, don't have control over how much they can earn, which goes back to what we were saying in the previous episode of it just being very difficult to make an actual living off of DJing.
And I think that's where there's this big misconception and also, I guess, sense of ignorance from like venues, because, and I think just general public as a whole, like they think that, you know, I think their kind of interpretations to what a DJ is like someone who works a 9-to-5 and just does some gigs for fun on the weekend. Like they don't kind of view it as like an actual vocation or like an actual career. It's like a supplementary kind of income, or, you know, something that someone does like for a laugh at the weekend, just to kind of, you know, get away from the office and work and everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they kind of look at it like, oh, it's not like a real job, is it? There's still kind of like that sort of mentality behind it. Do you know what I mean?
Still doing that DJ thing still.
How's your little DJ thing going?
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that, yeah, there's that. And okay, there are some people that do it on the side and, you know, will be like, well, I just want to get out and play just for fun. And yeah, I'll take £100 on a Saturday or whatever, you know, gets me out of the house. So I can have some drinks and whatnot, you know, a couple of mates can come along. So that's never going to go away, because, you know, some people do this for an outlet and, you know, fair play to them. Do you know what I mean? You know, they enjoy what they do. And if they want to spin a dive bar and play top 40 and that's what they want to do, wicked. But yeah, if you're trying to like make a career out of this, it's getting harder and harder each year, like unless you're either building your own thing or you're lucky enough to, you know, really get your weight up and become like an in-demand name. So yeah, it's a tough one, because it's like, you know, the fees should go up, but I also understand the kind of economic climate we're in, and that's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, sadly, I think I agree. And I think you're right. I think we're at a place where even, you know, we constantly have talks of like, oh, well, if there was a union for DJs, we could leverage the venues and then we could push things up. And I think actually, nah, I don't think we could, because there will always be DJs that aren't in the union that will step in. And like I've said a billion times on the podcast, like we all started somewhere. We all didn't start charging what we're charging now. I was getting paid £30 and I was doing the whole night in a bar and the first hour in a club for a 30 quid. Do you know what I mean? I'm not even sure that's legal now. So like we've all had to come through there, and even with like a union pressuring these big corporate clubs, yeah, you have to pay our members this. There's going to be people that are like, well, I'm not part of your little union, so yeah, I'll come and do it for £200 because I want £200. Do you know what I mean? And it's tricky. And it's like you say as well, like some people do it just for an outlet. So like my little hobby that I'm just doing in my bedroom, and now I can go out and get £200 for it. Like, do you know how much work I have to do in a normal job for £200?
Exactly.
And actually I'm just standing here playing songs that I like to people. So it's like, it is a tricky one. And I think you're right. We're at the mercy of the venues when it comes to like the residents circuit, I think I'll call it, the resident circuit. It's tricky.
I think the only thing I'd love to see long term, if there's a way to do it, and I don't know how they could implement it, is some kind of employee benefits where, all right, cool, we're contractors, so we're not going to get, you know, the 28 days holiday or anything like that, but if there is some kind of pension scheme or some kind of healthcare plan or something like that where we can benefit in the long term, as opposed to, you know, all right, cool, I'm taking 2 weeks off, I expect to get paid for my residence. Like, doesn't really work like that. Do you know what I mean? You know, we're not contracts like that, unless you're able to get like a really good contract with a venue and you're able to work with them long term. But yeah, like some kind of, you know, if you're working with a venue long term, like some kind of pension plan or something like that, you know. Okay, you can do a private pension or whatever, but yeah, if there's a way for you to kind of have some kind of employee benefits, I think one that would be good for morale and also good to kind of you know, cement a relationship between a venue and a DJ. But also, yeah, it just kind of gives you that extra bit of security, because you know how this game is. Like, you could be fully booked 1 week and then you could have like nothing for the next like 6 months, you know, the way the venues are going. So
it was something I thought about approaching Deltic about. I think this was like pre-pandemic, and it was about making DJs employees instead of contractors. And it was to do with that. It was to do with making sure that they've got holiday pay and stuff like that. And the way it would work, obviously it'd be tricky, because it's like, how are they going to have an employee just for like 1 day a week? But it's like, you know how Deltic break up their clubs into different regions, and they have like the area manager will cover the south or the north. So just separate those regions. And let's say there's five clubs in the south and there's three rooms in each club. So now you've got 15 DJs that are employees. And then just like circulate them so that they're not, because everybody knows that having a Friday night DJ and a Saturday night DJ is the same. That's not good for the club or the DJ. Like, that's, you're just going to fall into a rut. But having them circulate so that it's a pattern, but you are playing in different clubs, would be beneficial creatively. But it would also be a way to get your money's worth out of having an employee, basically. Give them all the benefits. And then you can say, well, actually, you know what? Like, the event's only £250 for the whole night. That's what it would effectively work out for. But now you're a pay-as-you-earn employee. Now you're getting paid holiday and all that stuff. I really thought about it, but in the end, I just never, ever approached anyone with it, because I thought, I can't see them wanting to get on board with employees, because the way they operate is, if they want to get rid of a DJ, at the end of your shift, they say, thanks very much, that was your last night. And obviously, with employees, now you can't do that. You have to have valid reasons for sacking people. So I think it's...
I hear that. Well, I mean, it's tough. I think there would have been also, like, would have benefited the DJs as well, because imagine if you're, like, kind of circulating between, like, four or five different cities or towns across the month, and that it's a great way to kind of get your rep up in different territories as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So it would have worked. Like, it also would have been a benefit to the club as well, because if you're going there once a month and they really, really like you, then people are like, oh shit, like, Double's coming next week, all right, cool, we know we need to be at the venue and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. It would, I think, it's, again, it's one of those things where it's got all the benefits for the DJ, but for the business, it's not broken for them, because they're getting people that, they're getting specialists that can come in and do the job. And if they don't want you involved, they just cut you off at the end of the night. Yeah. Fuck off. We're not paying your pension. We're not paying your tax. We're not doing you holiday. And we don't even want you anymore. You're gone. And then you're gone instantly. It's a savage one. It's a savage one. And on the resident circuit, I don't think there's a solution, and sadly, I don't think there ever will be. I might be wrong.
There's too many factors, mate.
There is
too many factors. You know, that you can have a core group of, say, I don't know, say 100 DJs across a certain region, but like you mentioned, there's always going to be those that are not going to be within that or don't want to be part of that, and you know, they either undercut or devalue, whatever you want to call it. I say it all the time, man. Just got to focus on yourself. Like, if you can help people as well, then great. But if not, the game is what it is, mate.
Yeah.
You'll be like it forever.
I think it's true. Just focus on... but it's a tricky one, because it's like, yeah, focus on yourself. But at the same time, it's because everyone's focusing on themselves that there's no community movement to try and get us all paid better.
Yeah, because there's some people that don't care as much. Like, obviously, us three, I would say we all care. But there's some that are like, I don't care what it's like, I want to get this amount, so I'm going to go get it.
Yeah.
And also some people's financial situations as well, they're happy just to take, you know, 250 for a 10-hour set or whatever it is. So
yeah,
I
do get it.
I feel like it's been better post-pandemic, though. I feel that it's definitely been more of a sense of community post-pandemic than it has, say, like, you know, before the apocalypse. You know, people are now kind of coming together, like, you know, they're doing, creating platforms together, they're kind of helping each other out. And, you know, there's always been people in the industry that have, like, you know, always been able to, like, help people out, like Martin and Annie, for example. They've always been, like, very for the community and for DJs. But, yeah, I feel like it's not as much of a rat race as it was, say, like, back in 2018, 2019 or whatever. You know, it still exists, and the only difference is that there's like less venues now, and obviously venues a bit more cash strapped than they were like pre-pandemic. So there's those factors. But yeah, I think overall, I think people kind of, I mean, again, I can only speak for like us, my peers, and, you know, most of the people in that nightlife group that we speak to, but there seems to be like a lot more people that are willing to kind of give opportunities or help people out or try and bring others through than say it was, you know, like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the numbers of people that are helping are bigger now than they were like pre-COVID, but because I was never part of a community like that pre-COVID. And I know, like, in particular... Say that again.
It's you, double. It's you.
You're part of the problem.
Yeah. I'm trying to be the change that I want to see. But I think, yeah, I think the nightlife one in particular was set up because everyone was in the same storm. Do you know what I mean? It was like, right, mm-hmm. Okay, well, we need this community thing. Like, nobody's working now. Our job has become outlawed. It was actually, it's mental, isn't it? It was actually illegal to DJ.
Yeah.
In 2020. That is mental.
Even within those communities, though, you do get a few wallies, didn't you? So,
yeah,
like the community's already still going to get.
I don't know what you mean. Can you elaborate on that, please?
A few wallies in that
no
group.
Elaboration yeah. required, but you know, it's just, yeah, you know, it's, you're always going to get wallies and people that go against it or have different views to what the main view is, I guess. So that's what I mean. You kind of just got to focus on yourself and
yeah.
the people
you know what I
accept that help.
What I think it is, actually, the penny kind of just dropped with me, is it's like everyone has different goals.
Mm.
And I think that's why there's no like unified shift towards yeah. like, okay, well, let's all make sure that we're all getting paid correctly. That's because everyone's goals are different. Some people,
it's,
like
it's
you said, some people don't care about making money. It's just a hobby that they've been able to monetize for yeah. a little bit of pocket money. Other people, that's their only income. Some people are happy just doing weddings. Other people want to just do clubs. Some want to produce and do, like, there's so many different goals that the financial reward is not the primary goal for majority in it. So, and it's, oh, everyone's financial goals are different with it. So
yeah.
Yeah. I think cause it's, there's so many different directions that everybody's taking it. Maybe that's why there's no like proper, like unified movement.
And also there's a lot of people that don't necessarily know as well. Like we said, there's always people that are new to, you know, DJing. So they might not know what the standard for a residency is or standard for a wedding is.
Yeah.
So that's why those questions always do come up. So if there's people, like for example, that person yesterday that didn't know about what sound system to take or how to set up, I'm sure that there's someone that doesn't know how much to charge. So it's about
yeah.
that teaching as well, isn't there?
100%. Yeah.
And I feel like it's such a bespoke thing as well that you can't really sort of tell everyone this is the blanket fee you should be charging, because again, each situation is like completely different. You know, a restaurant with an early finish is going to probably pay different to like a main headline club set, you know, and that's going to pay different to like a retail store, which is, you know, you might be playing like between like 12 to 5 or whatever during the day. So you can't really turn around and say, right, this is the blanket fee that everyone should be going out for. And you can't really sort of like unionize it that way, because again, like each case is like different. But I feel like for anyone like new coming through, you know, there should be like some kind of like rough figures, like should be, you know, because there, I think there was someone in that group who was like saying, oh, how much should I be like charging for like New Year's Eve? And it's just like, well, you know, this again, like New Year's Eve, you can definitely put the price up because it's an in-demand night still to an extent. But yeah, don't accept, you know, anything less than this, that and the other. But again, like we said, everyone's situation is different. So,
and yeah, everybody would price it differently as well. I've always said for clubs, for a resident, the absolute minimum wage should be £50 an hour.
Yeah.
For a club resident. But yeah. But I've been saying that for like 5 years, maybe more. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, well, actually, now should it be £75 an hour now? Because everything else in life is way more expensive. But I've always based it on, if you're turning up with just your laptop and your headphones and your abilities, that's minimum wage, £50 an hour. If they're now telling you need to bring equipment, well, now you need to factor in more because you're bringing your equipment. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's kind of the advice I've always given. When it comes to weddings and private functions and stuff, I would not have a clue how to price it up.
It's difficult because I know me and Cable have done like a couple of things recently where I've kind of asked if you're available to do weddings. And I always just say, just whatever you want to charge, mate, just charge it. Because I can't tell someone what to charge and what not to charge. So whenever I receive that question, I just think, what do you feel like your time is worth, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
And how long's the gig, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I have my price, but my price isn't going to be the same as any of your prices, maybe. It might be similar, perhaps.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's just a difficult one, man. Like, and there's loads of different factors as well. What sort of equipment do you have? You know, like, how far are you traveling? You know, there's all those sorts of things too, so...
I think that also, like, a lot of DJs don't really kind of speak to each other. I think, you know, like, I'm in a couple of other like separate groups and we're all quite transparent with like what we make per gig. And, you know, if an inquiry comes in, we'll always like say, like, someone will be in the group and say, do you think I should charge this? And we'll kind of look at it and go, yeah. Or we'll be like, do you know what? You're doing 2 hours. I think you should charge X, Y, Z. Or if you've got to bring equipment, this, that and the other. You know, I think that if more DJs who are cool with each other actually kind of spoke a little bit more and said, you know what, because it's all about like realizing your worth as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not undervaluing yourself. And again, it's a fine line between, you know, overvaluing yourself and undervaluing yourself. Yeah. I think, especially with like residencies and clubs at the moment. But mm-hmm. when it comes to like outside events and things like that, weddings and that, then yeah, there's conversations to be had because, you know, wedding DJ prices vary so much. And obviously, again, it's a case by case scenario because everyone's got their own individual budgets for like putting on a wedding and that. But yeah, man, I mean, that's why I always like when we have our conversations, Craig, I just say to you, like, oh, I'm going to charge this. Do you think that's fair? And then obviously, I know you'll go and, you know, I mean, basically, double like Craig's pretty much like my wedding agent now. I'm sure he ends up charging double. And he's like one of those agents that take like, yeah, three times the fee.
Imagine I was, though. That'd be hilarious.
And now, if you want to get paid within 30 days, you've got to give him 10%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's with the private gigs, especially, there's always a fine line, isn't there, of charging too much and not as well. You've always got to gauge that. So I do try and ask the budget questioning in a bit of a slick way. I mean, I quoted a wedding last year. It was like a last minute booking. They said, hi, our DJs pulled out on us. Like, how much, like, do you charge? And I gave my quote and I ended up finding out that they said it was too expensive and they had X amount to pay. They wanted to pay 500 quid, which right. I wasn't willing to do it for.
Hmm.
And I said, I mean, mine is higher than that and it's for a reason. I mean, you don't have to pay it. I actually know the person that made the person cake for the wedding and they paid £650 for the cake.
Yeah.
Mate.
So it's like...
£4,000 for the flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, man. I know how much these things cost and how much people are willing to pay and like they think, oh, it's just a DJ. They can, you know, just press buttons and press play and, you know, they play songs. But it's so much more to it than that. So there's a lot of education that needs to be had for people to understand like what DJs actually do. We don't just, okay, yes, we do just go and play songs, but there's so much more to it than that. You know, we can all have like the same 50 songs, we play them all completely differently, you know.
I feel like in those kind of situations, I haven't planned a wedding yet or anything, but I feel like in those kind of situations, a lot of couples, they always kind of tend to like budget for the DJ last. They always kind of like call, venues are the first thing, get available date, then it's all, you know, catering, flowers, favours, you know, materials on the back of chairs, all this type of shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, cool, now we need to get entertainment. And, you know, that's when they want to try and cut as many costs as possible, which I get it, you know, they've already spent, you know, like fucking £20,000 on a venue or whatever. But, yeah, you know, at the same time, it's you do get what you pay for when it comes to wedding DJs.
Absolutely.
But, you know, some people just want either a playlist or they just want someone in a corner just playing whatever song. They don't care about the booth or the lighting or the sound or anything, provided there's someone there playing music, is what it is.
Yeah, and another thing we've got to compete with as well is bands.
Yeah.
Wedding bands and musicians. Like,
but it's quite common though, isn't it, that people will have a band as the main thing, but they'll hire a DJ for like the in-between bits because the bands will have a break. Or the band's not playing for 4 hours.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people that have just gone for the band. Like, they have a playlist up until like maybe like the first dance, and then the band will play, and then it will just go through like to the end. So it's, and the bands are so expensive, mate. Like, because you're not just paying for one person, you're paying per person. Like, they were, I went to the wedding show in October, and there was one band there, they were charging minimum 12 grand.
Jeez.
Minimum £12,000, mate.
Crazy.
For like, but when you, once you factor in, yeah, you factor in, like, you know, the lighting and sound, there's probably going to be a sound guy there. You've got to factor in the loading and unloading as well. It's you know, it's not just turn up and do like 2 1-hour sets. You're there from like 10 a.m. in the morning until like 1 o'clock.
Yeah, night. And they're bringing
that time is, it's not necessarily split because there's maybe say 1, 2, 3, 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you factor that to the DJ prices, I don't know many wedding DJs that are charging 12 grand. And you've got to be there. You've got to set up by yourself. Most of the time, we're our own sound. We're doing our own lighting, our own
our own equipment as well.
You know, the fact that if I was to say I'm charged 12 grand the same as a band, I'd feel quite rude in a way, you know. So it's, I don't know, maybe we need to revisit what the standard is, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, the wedding DJ industry is so, I'm so far removed from it, I wouldn't know whether £500 or 12 grand or anywhere in between where like the scope is. But you're right, it's weird that people were just like, yeah, we're going to pay this much for the cake, this much for the flowers, the dress is 5 grand, this and that and that and that and that. And then it's like, right, how much have we got left? 200 quid. Okay, that'll sort the DJ. And it's like,
but I feel at the same time, it's like when you kind of deep it, the DJ and the music really is like not at the top of like the priorities. Like, it's all about the venue, the catering, the dress, the cake, the photographer. Those are the things that people are going to look back on.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then, you know, like, unless like they get someone really, really bad, they're not going to turn around, you know, like, oh yeah, wedding was good, but the music was fucking shit. They're going to be like, yeah, it was a good wedding. Or if they book a really good DJ, they'll be like,
the wedding's not ruined. It was an amazing day. The DJ was shit at the end. And it's like, just, oh, okay, well, the DJ was shit.
I'm not sure. I think we have a bigger part to play in the quality of the day than some people actually realise.
But
because a bad DJ can make or break the wedding, you know?
No, I think it's the opposite. I think it's the opposite. I think a good or a great DJ, that's where it levels it up. But I think like a mediocre or bad DJ, unless they're terrible and genuinely don't know what they're doing, if they've got a playlist from the bride and groom, the bride and groom don't care if you're mixing or not. They don't care if there's just like literally just a quick fade across. Do you know what I mean? If the music, even if the music's not put together, like, you know how us as DJs, we would make sure it flows and we make sure that it almost makes sense from one song to the next. It wouldn't be an abrupt change. But I think even like a bad DJ that might do an abrupt change, I still don't think ruins it.
I think unless you fuck up the first dance, then... Yeah, which, you know, that I feel that that's kind of the most important thing with like a wedding set, is that you need to just make sure the dance songs are correct. Like, you know, there might be a mother son one or whatever like that, but yeah, as long as you get like, you know, the father daughter mother son and like the first dance sorted and there's no problems, then that's fine. You know, you can just like clang away and it's all good. But or don't clang away, but
yeah.
Oh, he's disappeared. Okay.
Yeah. So Craig's just popped out for a second. Cable, yeah. Did you see the Travis Scott video?
I did indeed. And do you know what's quite funny is it's the way he like picked up the laptop and looked at it. He was like, oh, is this an M4 Pro? I've never smashed one of these before.
Because this is not the first time he's done this either. I actually saw the video. When I was watching the video, I had my Instagram on mute. So I didn't hear the song that was playing. So I didn't realize it was a current song. And someone posted it in one of the groups I'm in. And I just thought, because it's happened before and it's gone viral for this before.
Yeah.
So, oh, this is an old video. Excuse me. But yeah, then when I watched it another time, I had the sound on and I realised Fiend was playing in the background. So I realised, no, actually, this is a new offence. It's not an old one.
I love how like quickly like, that laptop got taken away like very, very quickly. And he's like, oh, shit, well, all right, I'll just smash the laptop stand instead. And he's like, let me find the next available thing to just destroy on stage. And yeah, I don't know. It's a weird scenario to be in. I think, one, it's kind of prompted everyone, back up your hard drives every single week.
Yeah, especially if you've got Travis Scott coming through.
Yeah, but what do you do in that scenario? I feel like in that scenario, you got to be prepared now. If Travis Scott's going to come through, then it's like, all right, I'm going to switch to USB keys or whatever for the last, like, 10 minutes before he goes on. I'm going to put my laptop away. But, yeah, if he smashes up your laptop, provided your shit's backed up, I assume he's going to pay for a new laptop. I don't know how it works.
He's not paying for it, bro. This is, come on, you've been in a club where the artist or the celebrity or whatever has come into the club, and they don't give a shit about who the DJ is. 9 times out of 10, unless it's already a celebrity DJ playing. They don't care, man.
Do you think, like, it's real?
Yeah, 100%.
Because he's done it a couple of times now, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, that's, so I just
or
said...
Or something similar.
I just said, like, I didn't realise this was the first, this wasn't the first video, because I've seen it before.
This is what makes me think, is he just doing it for, but surely he's not doing that for attention.
No, because I think
Travis Scott, you know, so
yeah, and I also think it only goes viral in the DJ community.
Yeah,
I don't think it goes viral. Like, general population doesn't care that he's smashing a laptop. They don't know what it means.
It's just a dick move, man. It's just so rude, bruv. Like, it's just rude.
Proper.
It's
actually
not like you can't afford to replace it, but it's not even the case of replacing the machine. It's replacing the content of the machine as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone hasn't backed up, which they should back up every single Sunday after Saturday, then, you know, it puts people in a bit of a pickle.
It does indeed. I actually posted on the Instagram.
You can claim on insurance, like, you call up Aviva and it's like, so what happened to your laptop? Travis Scott smashed it.
At least you got the video evidence.
That's true.
At least you got evidence.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see. I can't find.
It's criminal damage, no? It's criminal damage.
I mean, technically, yeah. Technically.
I'm ratting, man, straight away. 100%. Yeah. I'm a civilian, so I can rat.
I'll be honest, yeah. I think instinctively, I'm punching him in his head.
He's rolling with like 10 security. You're going to get jumped, bro, and it's going to end even worse.
I didn't say I'd survive. I'm just saying, I think instinctively, I think I would swing. But I'm not sure. It's difficult.
Do you reckon you connect? Do you reckon you connect?
Connect?
Yeah, do you reckon you get him?
Yeah, yeah, I box, bro.
You'd probably go viral for that as well. So think about it. You could...
100%.
Yeah.
It would also close quite a few doors, I think. Possibly, actually. I don't know.
It's just Travis Scott at the end of the day. Like, I mean, you know.
But, I mean, we're supposed to... Like, how many clubs are booking a DJ that's known for knocking out the main act?
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, cool, I'll get a few follows and I'll get some likes, but now, like,
you might get a Misfits deal off the back of that.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, and I'd go for that as well. This is really annoying. I can't actually figure out how to get up all of the
Who would you want to fight in a Misfits? Would you fight Bevo?
Would I fight who?
Would you fight Bevo?
I'll be 100% honest, yeah, and I'm not just trying to be a hard man. I haven't seen one person on a Misfits lineup that I don't think I could fight. I think and beat. I think did Mist had a fight with Ryan Taylor, didn't he?
Oh, is it? I haven't seen that one.
I don't know if it was Misfits, but Mist and Ryan Taylor had a fight. I reckon Mist is quite a good scrapper. And I'm not 100% certain I'd beat him. He's got quite a solid jaw as well. I don't think I could knock him out. But in a boxing match, I'm not talking about like a fight outside, but in a boxing match by boxing rules, I think I could possibly outbox him. As in, I'm winning on points because I've got a good defense and I'm a good boxer. Missed. Like if it was an actual boxing match. So just to make this very clear, I'm not calling Missed out and saying I'm going
to
punch him in the face.
I was about to say, we could erase this for charity, man.
No. I like Missed. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying as a boxer, just to be very, very clear. Someone else who I think would give me problems, Bugsy Malone.
Bugsy.
Yeah. Very handy, bro. That guy can fight. And like, I'm not talking about scrap. He's a fighter. Like, he's a very good boxer. Also, I think H would give me a good run for my money, you know.
Yeah.
H boxing. I think he does I think he either does like kickboxing or karate or something, but like
this is the thing, man, you never know what people know.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, like, I'll tell you what, I learned.
I think I could defend myself, but if you look at someone, you can kind of you'd make an assumption, wouldn't you?
One of my most
if you could have them or not.
Yeah, 100%. And I do all the time because I've boxed for so long, I'm always sizing people up, bro. All the time, like, yeah, I reckon I could. And But one of my most important life lessons, I think, was when I first started boxing. And my very first sparring session was with the club captain. And he became a very good friend of mine. So he won't mind me saying this, but like, he looks like a librarian. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you saw him outside, there's no way you'd feel like this guy could probably knock out majority of people I know. And there's no way you would think that through seeing him. Yeah. So when I got into the ring, obviously, like, I'm a new boxer, like, yeah, all excited. Like, I'm a boxer and all this. And within 30 seconds, bro, I couldn't breathe. And I know for a fact he went easy on me as well, because like, in a good boxing club, you don't absolutely pummel the new kids. Do you know what I mean? You teach him a lesson, of course, but you don't absolutely rinse them. And I lost count of how many times he hit me in the first round. I don't even know. Like, and he was so fast and so powerful. It was just mental. But then to look at him is like, I legit thought I could have beaten him in a fight. And there's no way, like, even now, after all the years and all the experience in boxing that I have, I'm still not convinced I could beat him in a fight. Do you know what I mean? It's mental. So you really you really do underestimate some people. But yeah,
I definitely think Travis Scott couldn't fight, though. I think Travis Scott can't fight.
Nah, he can't fight. I tell you, randomly, do you know who is quite a good little scrapper? Tory Lanez. Even though he's like
this little man syndrome,
this big.
He's had to defend himself.
Yeah, I have a feeling him and Travis Scott might have got into it once, actually.
How was it?
I think so. I think they had a fight, or he punched up Travis. I'm not sure. But yeah, anyway, so I think instinctively I might end up punching him. And yeah, which is not going to be good for business. I'd be raging, anyway. I'd be fuming.
I mean, you would go super viral, but you can only capitalise on it if you survive the beatdown post-punch. So you'd have to,
No, because I think, you know what? I'm just going off a hypothetical now, because I'm excited about the thought of it. all right, cool. So, all right, I've banged him. Maybe I would. But anyway, right, so I was just thinking whether I'd just knock him out in one clean punch. But to calm the bravado down, I'll just say I punched him, right? I've not knocked him out at this point. I've just punched him in his head because he smashed my laptop. And now his close protection guy's got me in a fucking chokehold, and everything's going black as like fists are raining down, boots are coming down on me, and I'm bleeding now. Like, but I think I'm releasing an Instagram statement the next day saying, yeah, of course I got beaten up by all of them. There was loads, but I'll have every single one of them individually, and I'd call them out. They wouldn't come back because they don't care. That's just some English guy they gave a beat down to. But I think that's how I would save face from going viral, from getting beat up by Travis Scott's security.
If you punched Travis Scott for him smashing your laptop and then got beat down,
yeah,
are you still liable to sue?
But I don't think you can sue. It's not that kind of culture in the UK, is it? Unless like,
or prosecute or try and get something.
But financially, you don't really benefit in this country. You just, unless the judge is like, yeah, okay, well, the laptop was £2,000, so I'm sentencing you to pay back the £2,000. But the way the legal system in the UK works, that's like 15 months worth of court and all the court fees. Travis Scott's a multi-millionaire. He's got a better lawyer than me. Do you know what I mean? So now, it's got to, that's what I'm thinking. It's just got to be a swingers.
Yeah, I feel like CPS will look at it and go, they're back in America. It's not going to happen, bro.
It's a lot for you,
bro. Yeah, and this is the thing. But even to get to CPS, now you've got to speak to the police. You've got to gather that evidence. It's just a long day, isn't it? My laptop's smashed. Yeah. Travis
just
Scott.
Just take the bang and do the Instagram. I agree.
Yeah. Just
capitalise, get your misfits deal.
Exactly.
It's all good, mate. It's all good.
Yeah, that's I think that... Cable,
double
versus
Bevo on the next one.
You definitely you hit the nail on the head there, actually capitalizing it with the Misfits deal.
Yeah,
because that definitely going viral for knocking someone out is just a fast track into the
mate. Get some boxing gear sorted. Get your Boohoo Man deal as well. You can have like some Boohoo like boxing t-shirts and stuff. Like mate, that could be your new pivot. You could then become just like a celebrity boxer.
And you could also potentially put an end to DJs having their laptop smashed.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. If artists knew, right, hang on, I might get knocked out for this. I'm probably not going to do it. Miss DJ Candy, she said she was swinging. So I posted it on Instagram, by the way. So I'm just going through all the responses because I said, what would you do? Basically, and the DJs have responded. So Candy's swinging. I reckon she'd be all right as well. I don't think security's going to like punch her down because she's a girl. She might get like choked out, you know, when they restrain her and now it's just getting blacked out. But I don't think she'd get punched. I might be wrong. They're American.
Double thought about it is too much, man.
I do. Yeah, no. I do. too much thought going into it. Snea Mavana says they would die. Just says my music. The music's on the laptop. Obviously, like, back up your laptop, innit? Guy D'Angelo dashing him off stage. Need more details. Like, how are you doing it?
Headlock first, or are you picking him up?
Like, yeah, and you've got probably like 3 seconds at best before the close protection's on you.
Yeah.
At best. Yeah. I've seen how some of these guys operate.
It's got
to be like
a kick or a punch in it. Quick kick or a punch.
Literally. It has to be just the one.
Quick roundhouse.
El Savage. So one set, smash it all. You want. Oh, right. So El Savage says, smash it all you want. Just know I'll get a better one from him. But this is the thing. Like, he's done his thing. He's done the walkthrough. He's smashed your laptop. And, like, when it's time to leave, he's out the venue. There's no, like, sitting down and reasoning and, like, oh, you smashed my... Store. Sorry, I smashed your laptop, bro. Here's a couple racks. Go and buy a new one. Like, nah, he's gone. DJ Case said invoicing him on the spot. It's not going to work. Kiyimbo. Everyone's saying they would charge him to buy a new one.
Like, I think, it's a normal transaction.
Yeah. It's not how it's going to work. You're not getting money from him. Let's get to the violent ones. Yeah, Brad Harrington. Smack him across the head and accept the consequences. I'm with it. Blazony says rear naked choke. I think that's a move. That doesn't actually mean being naked.
It would be funny if he was naked, just stripped it in.
Right, that's it. Come here.
Shout out to Brad, the naked choke.
Yeah, DJ Ace, he's punching him in the back of the head. It's a bit more dangerous, but imagine accidentally killing Travis Scott.
For smashing your laptop?
For smashing your laptop, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit long.
I don't feel I could do the job.
DJ Link says, let him crack on. And then take him to court. It's the norm in America. Oh, yeah. So where was this? Was this in England or was it in America?
Don't know.
I assume it's in the US.
I don't think he's not over here at the moment, is he? So that's a bit of a game changer because in America, they can sue you for pronouncing your name wrong. So that that's a bit of a game changer. Yeah. He could possibly get sued for it out there. DJ Indy just says, pray that you have Apple Care. Would Apple Care, do they do that for like actual physical damages where you take it in? I think my laptop's not working and it's like all folded up. The keys are missing. And
it's more of an insurance job, isn't it?
I think it is.
Rather than Apple Care.
Does insurance cover it? Does insurance cover 100%. Travis Scott raging?
It's not in the policy.
Act of God.
It's not accidental damage either.
DJ,
well, you can say, I dropped it down the stairs and it's like bent in half. It'd be like it's a long ass flight of stairs, bro.
Just put it in a bowl of rice. DJ Sentence, I know he loves Travis Scott as well. He said, this is my goat. He can't do anything wrong. I would feel lucky he blessed my laptops with his fiend. To be fair, you could probably sell the laptop. You know, Travis Scott's fan base.
Yeah,
is
weird.
Ridiculously big.
They're weirder than Kendrick fans, and I'm a big Kendrick fan.
Yeah. We know. You could probably sell it to a Travis Scott fan and make your money back by saying, yeah, this is the laptop that Travis Scott smashed in the video.
And if you're smart enough to kind of hand him a sharpie and be like, thanks for smashing my laptop, can you sign it for me? Like,
oh, you know what? I wish I wasn't so like instinctively violent because that's so smart. That's so much smarter to just be like, yeah, bang it again. But also, can you sign it?
Well, you could have the best of both ways. You could do that, and then you could punch him out afterwards because you wouldn't expect
it. Because his guard's down as well.
Exactly, catch him by surprise, boy.
And then the end of his signature is like all squiggled just because he's like, Yeah, someone else says lawsuit for emotional damage. Someone else said invoicing his management. They're going to laugh so hard on the tour bus when they see the invoices. Whoa, DJ Flex says, I'm taking his life and his ex and might as well raise his baby as my own too.
I mean,
whoa.
Wow.
It's a good shout, bro.
Whoa, that's it.
The Kardashian family.
Crazy. Oh, is he in the Kardashians? Yeah.
Set for life, mate. Yeah, set for life.
Oh, okay. That's not... No, that's
they all go a bit weird, though, when you're in the family, so it's probably not worth it.
Yeah, it's a weird cult to be part of. And yeah, DJ Baxter says send her... So most people are saying, yeah, they would send him the fee, which I think is quite interesting. But yeah, fucking Travis Scott. So I think the moral to the story is if you're booked and Travis Scott's doing a walkthrough or a performance at the club, then... just use USBs, innit?
Exactly. Yeah.
Just use USBs or someone else's laptop. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Fucking Travis Scott. I also asked, by the way, I asked this about a month ago on the Instagram, and it's things that DJs wished the civilians didn't do. Have you two got anything that you just wish normal people in the clubs didn't do?
Yeah, exist.
I knew he was going to say something like that. I thought he was going to say something like that. That's such a cable answer, man.
Nothing's going to top... I'm not even going to read this list now. Nothing.
So funny.
Nothing is going to top that answer. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week. Bye. That was top tier cable. I love that.
Oh, it's all good. I'm here a week, mate. I feel like, do you know what it is? That this kind of obligation to like speak to us whilst we're doing our jobs, like, bro, like, I'm here to like play music. I'm here to like play to the majority of people in the room. I'm here to try and keep the dance floor happy, keep the bar happy. All these variables, like, I'm not here to hear about your life story. I don't care that it's your friend's birthday. I don't care that you want to hear this particular song, which I'm probably going to play at peak time because you're probably going to ask me for Fiend at like 10 o'clock at night. I'm not going to play it, like, you know, not until I feel like, you know, playing it when it's like peak time. So all the dumb questions that people ask, like, oh, are you going to play Drake or are you going to play this? Or are you gonna, like, just don't ask dumb questions. Like, sometimes it's better just to kind of keep your mouth shut, buy your drink, enjoy your time in a bar and hop on a dance floor, you know, and yeah,
trust the DJ, innit? I think exactly. A lot of people don't, but again, I think they're not quite sure. You know that clip of that girl saying, what do DJs actually do? Like, I think that is what most people feel. They don't really know what we do. So I think that's why they come up to, they're going to make sure, like, oh, are you definitely playing Drake tonight? Da, 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 da.
My kind of concern about that video is that she's crying in it, and she's like crying, asking, what do DJs actually do? And I'm like, why? What's made you so tired to question what DJs actually do?
I don't know the background of that video. I'm not sure on the context.
That Central C's.
I was going to say, someone told me that was Central C's girlfriend at the time.
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay. So I don't know if
it
was
a model or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it's part of a skit.
Don't know the context behind the thing though.
Not sure.
Yeah, we don't do much, man.
Craig, what do you think? Things that the general population, the civilians, should know or not do.
The thing that gets me is when they. I don't mind requests. I don't mind people. I'm quite a personable person, a bit of a social butterfly. So when someone comes to stand next to me and. Can you teach me how to DJ? Those bait ones, I don't mind. I can just brush it off.
Yeah.
But the worst one is when they lean over the DJ booth with their drink in their hand.
Oh, yeah.
For me, that's the worst thing. I'm instantly just pushing them back. Or if they're like leaning into the DJ booth, if you're like a mobile setup or like on the DJ booth, they're actually on wheels or something.
Yeah.
The ones that lean back into it so everything moves forward. So I think they're probably the two big things that.
Do you remember that meme where the girl's leaning into the stage and the guy literally has like his hand on her face?
Yeah, like there's no. Or they try to use the DJ booth as somewhere to put their drink as well. Like I've had that a couple of times. I'm just thinking to myself, you've lost your mind.
Or coats. I did an event in Brighton recently, and I love doing them. And there's so many people that I know that come, but the downfall to that is everybody wants to put their coat in the DJ box.
Charge.
And I was, no, but these are like people that I know.
Charge.
Even more.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because they know that it shouldn't be done.
No one has cash anymore, you know. That's another conversation, man. No one has cash.
PayPal business.
Yeah. PayPal QR code. There you go. You know, my two things that I hate and wish people didn't do. The first one is if you see someone that you haven't seen for a long time, you're DJing or it's someone you might not have seen. I've had this someone I didn't see since school, right? And they recently came up and they're like, oh, how are you? I'm glad to see you're still doing this. Like, what have you been up to? And it's like, bro, I haven't seen you for 20 years. Like, and I've got another song to put on. Like, I can't, can we catch up another time?
Send me a WhatsApp.
But the problem for me is like, with strangers, I don't really care about being quite blunt and just being like, look, I've got to work, but chat to me in a bit. But with people that I know from my past, I'm very wary about, like, I don't want them to think like, oh, what an arrogant prick he's become. Da, 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 da. Do you know what I mean? Because I want to make time for you. It'd be nice to catch up with some of the people, not all of them, but some of the people I went to. It'd be quite nice to catch up with, but not while I'm working. Like, that's one thing. And it's happened before. It's happened more than once where they're like, someone I haven't seen for years. And they're like, oh, what have you been up to? It's like, oh, fucking hell. I mean,
trying to start a conversation.
Yeah, I went from being a child to being an adult and everything that happens in between. Are we going into the details or what? Like, fuck me. The other thing, yeah, I don't know if either of you two have ever had this. Craig's just telling his builders, can you like shut the fuck?
Oh, is he coming on the podcast?
Are we bringing a guest in?
Yeah.
Bringing in a guest.
Having some work done in the back. It's just straight through there, mate, on the left. Legend.
What would he do if Travis Scott smashed up his laptop?
Yeah, just ask him quick. And ask him,
brick him.
Let him know if he wants to get paid for the work that he's doing at your house, he's got to pay a 3.5% fee.
It's paid for already, so I'll chuck that in the next time.
See, he's doing the work now and it's been paid for. Why is DJing not like this? But right, sorry, the other thing, right? I don't know if you two have either had this, right? Either of you two have had this. But and this has happened on several occasions to me as well. I don't know how I attract these people. Someone's come up and been like, can you give my mate a shout out? They died last week and today was their funeral.
Fucking hell.
And it's like,
I ain't had that yet.
Right, I need to be quite sensitive to the fact that you buried your friend today. But at the same time, like, I've got a, there's a party and a vibe to kind of uphold.
Yeah, what do you even, I guess you can celebrate his life or something and kind of keep it positive, but like, yeah, what do you say in them scenarios? Like, I'm quite lucky, a lot of my gigs there's no microphone, so I just say, I'm sorry bro, there's no microphone, I can't help you with that one. And you know, that cuts out 90% of the, you know, the stuff I have to deal with. But but yeah, if you're on the mic, which I know you are, like a lot of your gigs and stuff, yeah mate, you'd I don't know, how did you negotiate that navigate that kind of scenario?
I think the first time it happened to me, so I'm just going to turn his camera off real quick. The first time it happened to me, I think I kind of panicked a bit and didn't do anything. Because it was like, I was like quite young, quite new to hosting as well. And I couldn't navigate, like, I think it was a group of people as well. They were like, oh yeah, we're all here. We had his funeral today. And I think it was like, right, I can't, like, what do I say? Like, rest in peace, Jimmy. Like, how do I, like, to me, maybe I overthink it, yeah? But I'm just like, if I say that, everyone in the club's just going to get sad and depressed. Do you know what I mean? They're probably not. But yeah, I think the first time I panicked and just didn't do it. Probably the second time, there was one time where I just didn't mention the fact that they were dead. And I just said, yeah, what's their surname? And he said the full name. So I just gave a shout out to that person and their full name. I never said anything about rest in peace or buried today or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, that one for me, that is, it's happened. It's not super common, but it's definitely happened too often.
Yeah. That's, yeah, well.
It's happened too often and more than twice. So yeah, it's not the one.
There's actually one other thing that I wish people didn't do.
Go on.
Besides exist, is when they like try and get your attention and are either trying to grab you, or they try and speak to you and they try and get you. You know, like some people try and grab you by the back of your neck to speak to you because it's loud and they want to kind of lean in.
Yeah, shit, bro.
Like I'm slapping hands away, grabbing arms, and be like, "Don't do that." You know what I mean? And then they get offended. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, because you're trying to grab my fucking neck, you dickhead. Like,
What's wrong with you? Yeah, that's
a stupid question.
Yeah, I know. That's definitely like they get my evil side when that happens to me as well. Yeah. It's like, it's not always. I used to feel like it was always guys that used to do it, and then I'm thinking like, what is this? Are you like challenging me here or something? Because you've come along with your big hand on the back of, oh, bruv, come, like, what the hell? But then, like, it happened quite a few times with girls as well, and I'm just like, who do you grab to talk to? Like, why is this a thing?
Especially someone you don't know.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
It's actually insane. You know, imagine.
Hey, last thing you want is like some random like sweaty palm like grabbing the back of your neck in the club.
It hasn't been washed when you went to the toilet either.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you got neck aids.
So, yeah, I think probably exist is probably the best answer, isn't it?
Yeah, Cable, you was right, but you summed it up. First one.
Nick Rich T, his only answer to this, he said one word and he put next. And we all we all know what that means.
Next.
Or
that, yeah, mate.
The other
rotating
one is
fingers.
Oh yeah. My word. The neck chop. Yeah, the rotating fingers. You know what? I was just about to mix out of this, but now because you've done that, I'm reloading it and I'm playing it to the fifth chorus.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
I might even just loop the last 10 bars.
Forever. I've reloaded a song once and looked the person dead in their eyes and played it from the start and literally just looked straight into their soul as I did it.
Control. Little peasant.
Here's one. It's my best friend's auntie's sister's cat's birthday today. Can you play a song for them?
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't mind requests. I really don't. But I think there's like a request etiquette. You know?
Yeah, pay
approach
me.
The DJ. Don't touch my neck. Like, excuse me. Can you play this song? And you either get a yay or a nay. If you get a yay, wait. If you get a nay, hold that.
How many times? How many times have you been like, yeah, knowing full well you're not going to play it? Or
multiple. But what I tend to do in double, what I tend to do is, in those situations now, I either say I haven't got it, or I can't play that here. If it's like, you know, they want drum and bass, and I'm playing in a restaurant, for example.
I say, listen,
I can't play that, but I'm more than willing to let you request something else. You know.
Yeah. Like, with requests now, I've got two approaches. Like, if they look like mad cool and they're actually quite polite, then I'll be like, cool, what's up, what do you want? I can try and fill that in, or I'll be honest and be like, do you know what? It's not really that kind of vibe, but it's a good song, you know, thanks for, you know, whatever, coming to me, But the two things I have now is people, if I look like they're going to be an arsehole, I'll just come up to them like, do you take requests? And I'll be like, if it's good, I'll play it. I'm going to let you know. Yeah. So it better not be a shit song. And then they like, and they go, can we play that? And I'm like, and then they'll be like, that song's fucking whack, don't ever ask me again. Or sometimes I'll just troll, like, if it's like someone's like, yeah, can you play any Drake? I'm just like, who's Drake?
Don't have any.
Oh, I only started DJing last week, who's Drake?
Drake. Like, play any what? What is Drake? Is that like a new genre? Is that a house? Is it like house music? What is a Drake?
You know, like Drake. And I'm like, no, I don't know Drake.
I love how you said if they look like an arsehole. Not even if they are one, or if they just across rude. It's just if you look like an arsehole, that's it. You're not even getting my attention.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, years of like being in clubs and DJing, like a lot of DJs be able to tell you. You can just pick up on body language. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's actually quite an interesting thing DJing, because you almost kind of like start studying like psychology, like inadvertently. So
oh, yeah, 100%.
Knowing like what pockets of the room to kind of hit, who's going to dictate the hype and stuff, and kind of work around that. Or like a group of girls walk in, and you know, just looking at, and yeah, okay, a lot of it is like maybe rooted in stereotypes and how people look and dress and stuff like that. But you know, like
a group of white girls
coming in, they're dressed a certain way, they're acting a certain way. You know, they're gonna probably want like Taylor Swift or Drake or like, you know, the common denominator.
I agree, but do you know how many times I've been so pleasantly surprised when someone's come up to the booth to request a song and I'm just like, I literally like, this is what I look like. My face is like this, like,
I had that when I was DJing in Norwich once. There was a group of girls on the table and they looked like they were just a typical group of girls and like a hen do.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, just catering to them for a bit because it was quite early on in the night. And one of them come up to me, she was pissed as anything, and she requested a Mac Miller song.
And I was sick.
Like, and the song, I think it was something for swimming as well. So it was a pretty dope song. And I was like, yeah, sick, absolutely, I'll play that. So yeah, I like to be pleased. And obviously I've remembered it as well.
So. Yeah. It's so nice when those people, and yeah, I get proper judgmental because I do just think like, oh, she's just about to ask for the shittest, most bait song ever. Can you play some Bashment like Kevin Little? But then they'll come with just like a proper, like an actual proper sick song that you don't expect proper them to song. Even know. And it's like, wow, yeah, I will play like that now. Yeah. Like right now, this second.
You know, was it Jonesy was telling me he was in the club one time and someone asked for a Stuart Little, turn me on.
Someone said here, JSG, the DJ, says, hold the phone in front of your face.
Yeah. Take the phone.
Take the phone. Put it in your pocket. Messages to their parents. Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, so I've had it before where people have handed me their phone with like the requests on it, and I've taken their phone. This happened in one of my residencies, actually. I used to do it all the time. Take the phone and then follow myself on all the socials. So they're now following me on everything. But I saw a video recently, some DJ took the phone and changed the language to Mandarin.
Or Mandarin, yeah.
So everything was in Chinese.
That's it.
Requesting a song, then demanding for it to be played next, or asking how long will it be?
Yeah.
That's or, you know, it's like, can you play our song? We're about to leave.
Like, leave then?
No. Because I'm not going to play a song for you to... My job's to keep you in here. Like, wrong information. People that act rude and high and mighty when I don't play their request. Good requests are fine. So, yeah. I think, yeah, people that get rude when you're not playing it. You know, actually, someone... I tell people straight and it's either yes or no. And it's never like, yes right now. It's yes when it fits. So, like... But when... You know when people request songs and you're like, nah... How shocked they get.
Yeah. It's like they was expecting a yes.
It's like
their
next
question was already loaded of when.
It's like you're the waiter and you just put their food down and then spat in it in front of them. What do you mean?
It's just the sense of entitlement. It's just like, you know, what do you mean though? I'm used to like getting what I want. It's like, well, not here.
I think it's a mixture of entitlement and not understanding the role or how DJs operate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think some DJs, because they could go to the club next door and ask the exact same question in the exact same way, and that DJ might play the song next.
True.
So I think it's just a lack of understanding that, like...
It's not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. There's DJs, and then there's good DJs. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone nowadays can be a DJ. Not everyone can be a good DJ. And in my opinion... Part of what makes the good DJs, we're the ones driving the bus. Do you know what I mean? We're the ones that are steering where we go, what direction, and choosing the songs. Just the DJs, they're the digital jukeboxes, like you mentioned before.
But you might get lucky with the request, though. It might fit where the direction you're already in sometimes.
Yeah, and
as well,
do you know, one of my favourite scenarios is when they ask for a song that's already loaded up and I'm just about to play it next.
Yeah.
And I always have to tell them about it. I'm like, that's literally what, like, now we're bonded for life now.
Yeah.
Do you know? We're bonded for life. We're getting matching tattoos because you just named the song I'm playing next. Here's one. Masterclass UK said, apart from the obvious stuff, when they just freakily watch you. Have you had it in a club where you're DJing and there's just that one person who's just...
Yeah, or they like flick the phone up and they're just like recording you. Just like, and I'm like, where is this going? Is this going
to the dark web or something?
Yeah, are we on TikTok Live? Is this going to the dark web? Like, are you sending it to your bosses and I'm getting nabbed into the van when I leave? Like, what's
you do get some random stares.
I think the phone makes it less weird because of how we live nowadays. Yeah. Everything is content for everyone. But it's when they're just... they're just raw dogging the DJ set. And they're just stood there. They're not stamping their feet. They're not clapping their hands. They're not even mouthing to the words. They are just static and just staring at you. There's one girl, actually, who does this on quite a regular occasion. And I actually got to know her after COVID because she started turning up at all of my gigs with RD. When I say all of my gigs with RD, right? During his album release, we did Brighton, Kingston in Surrey, and Manchester in the same day, and she was at every single one of them.
Yeah, well, that's right? Wild.
She was in your boot.
Huh?
She was in your boot.
Yeah.
But she used to turn up at my club sets as well and just stand at the front and not react to any song and just stand there. And it was only after actually meeting her in person that I learned she was autistic.
Oh, okay.
So, and it was like, she was having the best time. Like, she was having an amazing, and even in her Instagram caption, she would tag me. She's like, this is the best DJ ever. I had such a good night. But if you saw her, literally, she was like a cardboard cutout at the events. Like, just stood there doing nothing. But yeah, so I think in some cases, it's like, oh, okay, well, there's autism involved. They're on the spectrum, and that's how they're just having a great time. But I don't think that's the case in every time. Like,
sometimes you've got some weirdos, yeah.
And they always seem to be like the tallest guy in the room as well. So he just stands out, literally stands out from everyone else. His head is just there, just staring right into your soul. There's quite a few people that said about putting drinks over the equipment, like you said, Craig. That's a definite no-no.
Yeah, I hate it, man.
You'll end up drinking your drink back out of your laptop.
I'm giving it a go, for sure.
What's this one? Oh, yeah, standing there shaking their heads. That's almost as bad as the next.
Yeah, it's all in the same bracket, isn't it? It's all in the same bracket.
Yeah, I'm staring you in your eyes and reloading it again. Oh, someone said playing the air decks, pretending to DJ back at you and take the piss. I don't really care about that. Like, you look more of a dick than I do, so in most cases.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
You know what? I forgot to ask him about this, and I think, Cable, you flagged this one when it popped up. This was from a guy I know who is a photographer in Brighton, and he says, I'm not a DJ, I'm a photographer. I wish they didn't piss on my foot or try and spit on my lens.
I feel like there needs to be I feel that's a whole episode in itself. Like, Jesus. What did you do, or what was the circumstances behind some of you? Like, do you know what? I need to piss on this photographer's foot.
Yeah, I'm going to check real quick if I actually asked them about this, because I feel like I did.
Because either everyone's packed in like sardines and there's nowhere for someone to go, and if you got to go, you got to go. Not condoning it, but you know, getting to the toilet is a bit of a myth. So, okay, or it's someone that was like super, super drunk and didn't know what I was doing, but spitting into someone's lens as well, like what kind of weirdness is that?
People do the most off-key shit, bro. And at the time, it makes sense to them because they're drunk. I had one last Tuesday, actually. There was it was a student night. There was an on-stage drinking game. And the guy, they were given cans to drink from. And the guy shook his can up and then opened it to fling it at everyone. And it went all over the laptop, all over the mixer. It got me, but it didn't go all over me. All over the, I used turntables, this one, all over the turntables, everywhere.
Did you spark him out? Did Travis Scott?
I didn't spark him out. It was quite a big stage, actually. And so he was out of reach. But I did actually, his team won the drinking race, but I very publicly disqualified his entire team and said the other team won, told everyone the reason. I was fuming at this point as well, but obviously, like, again, it's one of those things where, like, I don't want to kill the mood too much. I don't want to kill the mood in the room by getting moody. But I also don't just want to smile and be like, oh, it's okay, like, that's fine, man. Just cover me in the laptop.
Yeah, because you don't want to condone that behavior.
I disqualified his team, said the other team won, which everyone loved that anyway, because it was two universities in Brighton, so it was one university as the other. So everyone loved that. But then I actually had to excuse him off the stage, and I told him if he doesn't get off the stage, he's going to get knocked out. And he left the stage.
It's like the champagne spray parties.
Yeah.
I've done a few. Obviously, I understand. If you're DJing at a champagne spray party, I don't understand.
I've been to a champagne spray. I've sprayed champagne 100%. I've always thought to myself, what a waste of money. It is a complete waste of money. But from a DJ perspective, if you are DJing there, you have to go with the expectation of shit can go wrong.
Yeah.
So use a USB or use a backup laptop or whatever. So, but I don't, you can spray it anywhere. Just don't spray it here.
Yeah. You
know? Have 100%. a bit of nous and a bit of knowledge of your surroundings kind of thing. That's one thing I would say as well. Like, you don't have to point it at the DJ, essentially.
It's like, it's just all common sense goes out the window when they're drunk, isn't it? Yeah. Because they don't think that. They just think, oh yeah, let's spray that guy. Yeah. Not thinking that, oh, let's spray that guy who stood right next to all the thousands and thousands of pounds worth of electrical equipment. Yeah, let's spray liquid on him. Yeah. Someone, oh yeah, this is something I hate. DJ Jordana said, last week a girl threw her phone at me from the crowd and it hit me on the stage. That is,
put your number in there, she might be keen, man.
It is one of my pet hates. It's not, no one's thrown their phone at me before, but you know when you see it at festivals, phones getting thrown up on stage, like. But you know what makes it worse is some of the highest profile artists pick up the phone, make content, and then just throw it back.
Yeah.
Now you're just encouraging 100 phones at your next show. Yeah. And who was it got hit in the head? Was it Lil Wayne? No, I think that was too long ago.
Many people been hit.
Someone recently, in the last year or two.
Ari Lennox hit.
Ari Lennox did, maybe.
Maybe.
I can't remember, but anyway, one of the big artists got hit in the head with a flying iPhone recently, or not in the last couple of years recently. Yes. And yeah, I just think it's so dumb, man. How did they even get the phone back afterwards as well?
I don't know. I feel like I would just like switch them all off and then just like take them to Mazuma and just sell them all the next day.
I think, but again, instinctively,
Envirophone.
I think I'm stamped. Yeah. Like if I was an artist. Obviously, the artists have to react differently because it's their profile, isn't it? And it's like, if that's the one viral moment from your main stage performance, then things are not going well. I think I'd stamp on the phone. I'm just stamping your phone out and then just flinging it.
There's a well-known DJ that we all know. I'm not going to name his name. And this is like going back about 15, 20 years ago when like messages on phones wasn't the norm. Yeah. And this person kept like putting the phone to his face, like play this, and he was like, yeah. And in the end, he got so pissed off, he took the phone and just threw it the other side of the club.
Love that.
It happened at Root in Colchester, believe it or not. Yeah.
Ah, good old Root.
Excellent. entering the DJ booth without being invited. Yeah, to be honest, just entering the DJ booth full stop.
Strange behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Weird.
You wouldn't go into a shop and go behind the kiosk.
Yeah, and then there's people that ask, they're like, oh, can I come behind the booth? And I'm like, no. And then they're like, oh, why not? And I'm like, because I don't fucking want you here, mate.
Did you go to chip shop and go behind the till?
Exactly.
Like, I had a residency once, and it's like, yeah, you don't like sit in with the bus driver when he's driving the bus around. You're like, oh, can I sit down with you?
Sit on your lap.
Yeah. But I had a residency once where a guy came up, and he said something. I had no idea who this was. He was like, oh, can I come into the booth? I've got 100,000 followers on Instagram. And it was like at a time when that is a big number for like a normal person. He's like, yeah, I've got 100,000 followers on Instagram. Like, I'll post you. Bro, I don't give a fuck. Like, get out. I don't care how many. Like, post me all day long. I don't care. Dumb. Most people, it is a general thing. It's like holding the phone up. You know when they've got the brightness on 4 million as well? Like, bro, give me a screen. Just giving the back of my brain a tan from looking at your screen. Like, the hell? And yeah, people, I think most people are saying that or being spoken to when they're DJing. I think a lot of DJs are like introverts, isn't it? And I know, although we've got a job to do, I think a lot just don't like being spoken to anyway.
Well, it's just a big distraction because it's just like, you know, let's face it, a lot of the songs are like super short these days. So if you're doing like, you know, and you're like quick mixing as well, like you're playing like anywhere from like 45 seconds to like a minute and a half of a song each time, yeah. Especially like at peak time as well. So why would you want to have a conversation with someone when that's your main focus is to kind of keep the energy moving and to kind of, you know, keep like, yeah, keep everyone like engaged and stuff. Like you haven't got time to sit there and be like, oh yeah, what'd you get up to this week? Oh yeah, I've been DJing, you know, X amount of years. Oh, how'd you get into DJing? Well, funny enough, once upon a time, it's just like, mate, like, fucking go away. Like, don't exist. Do you know what I mean?
How much do you charge, mate? How much do you charge?
Yeah, you know, so I'm surprised no one's actually asked that question in the group this weekend, like how much everyone's earning this weekend. That seems to be locked
in. You know what? It seems to be a question that has, it's only been asked once in the group, I think, hasn't it? How much is everyone asking this weekend?
Yeah.
It's coming. I'm telling you, it's next week.
Next week.
Because February starts next week.
Yeah, the monthly conversation. And then I'll post it there. I'll be like, anyone fancy starting a union?
I tell you guys, the FAQ.
Like, so what? How much was your tax bill this year?
Yeah.
That's definitely coming. That might be tonight, Cable. To be fair.
Oh my god!
I might put it in there.
New tax year is pending. Yeah, fucking hell. Well, anyway, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you for joining me on the pod,
again, bro.
Always good. Always
shouts to everybody for listening in. Don't forget, follow us all on the socials: Josh Craig, DJ Cable, DJ Double, and of course at Talkover Pod on TikTok and Instagram. I hate TikTok, man. You know, sorry, just to go off, my actual TikTok bio says, I hate this fucking app. that's what my TikTok bio says, and I'm keeping it there as well because I hate it. But yeah, we're there. We're available on all of the socials. Thank you very much for your time and attention listening. And until the next episode, we are out of here.
Peace.
Peace.